Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Dr. Gunamhlophe.
It's good to be here.
I sometimes feel like I do not have adequate information or I'm not adequate enough to be that custodian of culture, tradition, rituals. Give me, like, honestly, my practical ways of making sure that I don't lose that sense of being African and transferring that to the next generation. What's up, everybody? My name is Nozibede Kamgana Mayaba. Welcome to Don't Hold Back. This is where we say it loud. This podcast is in collaboration with DW, Jacaranda FM, and East Coast Radio. Now, let's get into it. Betuna, do you remember when we were growing up and someone visits your house and they ask where the elders? You often say, Mama or Dada? Or whenever something happens around your area, kubizwa omama badala, woman of prayer, and your mom goes out in a shawl, you know, to see what was happening. Newsflash, we are omama bomthandazo now. And I can't deal. When did it get to that? But most importantly, one of the conversations that I've been having with friends, with associates, with my network is, are we actually ready to be omama bomthandazo? Or to be the custodians of culture, rituals, traditions, and also understanding that we have now the responsibility of passing all of those to the next generation. I have a special guest today. You know, I was so excited to confirm that she was coming in studio. She is a poet, a storyteller, an author. To the younger generation, she is our Miss Rachel. Just to bring you context, you know how kids, literally their face shines whenever they see Miss Rachel on TV? This is how we were when we were younger. Whenever we saw her bright smile looking at us as if she knew us by name. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Dr. Gunamhlophe.
Yay.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's good to be here.
I've been trying to pinch myself. Honestly, I cannot believe you are here with me. When you walked in, I literally had goosebumps because I remember my childhood. Honestly, seeing your face, seeing your smile, seeing how passionate you were when you were telling your stories.
Yeah.
When I say, like, you literally, it felt like you knew us by name. And just in the way that you told your stories to us.
It has always been so important to say, I'm telling the story to this particular audience and children of all ages.
Mm.
You know, it felt like I'm focusing only on the little ones, but the mothers listened, the sisters, the teachers, the brothers, the fathers. People have listened to that storytelling from all those many years ago. And people sat next to the radio.
Yeah.
The radio was this powerful medium, and it continues to be even today. And television is such a heavy medium, because if we forget to project and present ourselves in a way that is about nation building, about self-love, about self-respect, then we are losing something. Let's use the cameras to the best of our ability.
Okay, Matt, before we get into the topic and discuss more, there's a tradition on the show.
Oh, yes.
I ask every guest to please bring in a snack that we can share.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see, what did you bring?
I brought a seed bar.
Okay.
Because I love seeds, I love honey, I love fruit.
Okay.
I love all the delicious things. In the Zakaya, man.
In the Zakaya, nation building. Yeah. Okay. I want the story behind the sunflower and sesame almond brittle bar. Okay. Later on.
Yes.
When we're almost done with the show. Let's get into it. First things first. Ma, what's the one traditional ritual that you remember from your childhood that you still uphold to date?
You know, both my parents, Baba Hammersdale, was not only, I say I come from the house of song and prayer.
Mm.
Even though you can tell I've got a double bass voice.
Mm.
It didn't matter what type of voice you've got.
Yes.
We had to sing at my father's home.
Yes.
We are Tula Ekaya, and we had to pray, and we honor the Almighty God, we honor our ancestors, because uNkulunkulu umvele inqangu uThixo omkhulu sobulungisa inzulu yemfihlakalo. This is the God of our ancestors. It is not the God who came from Europe with that lovely, lovely Bible. Sihlelisa imazi. I don't know if you ever heard of the great man called uNtsikana kaGaba. Lotito omkulu osezulwini ahom hom na. He composed that song because he wanted, he see that rhythm that touches the ground when you honor the Almighty. We are the children of the soil. You see, so for me, it was always that belonging to come from a house of song and prayer and also eating healthy food.
Okay. You know, before we started, we were talking earlier on and you were touching on, you know, there's more that you do. You don't just write or tell stories. You have an organization or a project in Glinamasik, custodians of culture. I've seen you as a storyteller and how you have been able to bridge the gap between generations using culture. Why is culture so important to you?
Culture is very important to me because it's about having a sense of self, having a sense of belonging, and growing into being. You're constantly growing into being a bit older, a bit wiser, and be a bit more experienced in different ways, and learning from the different people who are around you. Masibe kangasixhosa ke uzawuthi intaka yakhela ngensiba zenye ngesiZulu inyoni yakhela ngamaqhubu enye. A bird layers the nest with the small feathers, the down of other birds, to make it soft. And so I grow by learning from other people, and I hope I'm sharing whatever it is that I have experienced over the years, over the decades, with those who come after me and those who are around me. So for me, it's extremely important to be telling stories, but I'm doing art in education constantly. And Glinamasiko is the organization that is the umbrella body of all the other projects that
amazing.
We do.
Amazing. Now, Ma, with our generation, I've been very, you know, it's very interesting for me to follow some of the debate and the narratives around culture and tradition. Because on one side, the argument is culture evolves, culture changes. Then on the other side, whenever it's convenient for someone will say, no, but as much as culture evolves, there are some things that should not change, that should always remain the same. Mm-hmm. Where do we find the balance? Because for me and for many other young people out there, they always say, you always say culture changes whenever it's convenient for you, or culture doesn't change whenever it's convenient for you. Where do we find the balance?
Let's say the sun always rises in the east. I don't know if you ever noticed.
Yes.
And it sets in the west.
Yes.
And let's say water is this one thing that we can never live without. You can't live without water. So you cannot live without your own culture. You can go around dabbling and trying so-and-so's culture. You want to be Jewish tomorrow. You want to be Muslim. You want to be Pakistani. You want to be Ethiopian. Another. Who are you? Having that sense of self, no matter how much culture evolves, but there's something that is done in your own family and community, that central fireplace, eziko. We keep on reigniting our own fires, no matter how much we change. Look at us having this conversation now in a studio. But we don't forget where we come from. We keep referring to our own languages in the place where we were born, in the place where we were groomed and cultured. You know? And abantu bakuthi babebethi mangabe when you behave in a particular way. But you're not a person. You must earn your personhood. You're a human being because you behave like a human being, because you are caring. And you don't go around listening to people say, we got a concept of Ubuntu. A concept of Ubuntu. Like, give me a break. What is this concept of Ubuntu? And you don't behave like umuntu. You've got no self-respect. You don't respect other people. You're just taking. Give me. What culture is that anyway? All over the world, we're about respect. We're about wanting the very best that we can for ourselves and our families. And our children, when we are bringing them up, we want them to be better, to get better, to pass the place where I'm 67. Who wants to stop where Mam Tina is now? You want to get better. You want to move forward. And I watch young people doing fabulous things, moving with the times. I say, yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Opeg,
okay.
Those are our children. They are doing things, but they are respectful. They are respectable and they are hardworking. Nothing beats hard work. Ask the bee will tell you hard work is everything. And people just look at their dreams. They think I'm going to just waltz towards my dream. You don't waltz towards your dream. You sweat towards your dream. And you fall. You dust yourself. You stand up again. No champion has ever reached the finish line without challenges. So the same applies to our culture. Our culture will live if we respect it. If we say we can add a little bit of this, we can remove a little bit of this because it doesn't work anymore, but it remains the same.
You know what I'm getting from this conversation, Ma, is I think that sometimes the confusion is around culture and tradition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because what I'm getting here is culture starts within.
Mm-hmm.
Culture is what, in other words.
Your very being.
And then tradition is totally something different. Is what has been done for many years. And
then the way we've been doing it. Abantu bathi, in our time, we never used to do it like this.
That's tradition.
It was in our time, not in this current time. So we used to fetch water from the river and balance buckets on the head. We used to collect firewood from the forest. And things are different now. But how do we do these things? In the here and now,
okay.
You see, and
I love that.
When I think of the first year I spent in the Eastern Cape, I felt like such a foreigner. And then the mountains, I felt like I was in prison. And then I couldn't speak isiXhosa. And then what? And so I had to find a way to belong.
Okay.
And how do you belong? The one thing I was good at, Mina. Coming from KZN, Eastern Cape, and I can't speak isiXhosa. I don't know how to put cow dung on the floor. I don't know how to do all of the kind of things or even carry a decent bundle of firewood on my head. I didn't know how to do any of that. I thought, okay, where do I excel? Put me in the classroom. Show me the book. I'll show you who's the boss.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know what you are strong in. And I'm so glad that I decided to do that instead of hating other people who can do things I can't do. Of being jealous, of criticizing them and saying, no, that's not how we do it in Hammersdale, in Durban and what. Who cares how you do things in Durban? This is not Durban.
I love that.
You know, this is my, so watch how things are done here and find your niche. Find what is your strong point. And I did learn all of those things they knew how to do. And today, when I talk about what I learned in the Eastern Cape, I learned about that thing called Ukwindla.
Yeah.
No? I wish there could be an Ukwindla festival in South Africa. Because I love festivals, you know, I love the creative arts, I love all of this. And then Ukwindla is the time of abundance. That time, end of March, beginning of April, towards May, the food is ripe in the fields. I mean, we eat until we have to caress our stomachs. Kumnandi ukuba umAfrika. Because you love Mother Earth, she loves you right back.
We had
pumpkins, we had beans, we had mealies, we had everything coming from the earth, and we sweated for it. And so to know that healthy food coming from the earth can unite all of us. And our parents showed us by doing, not by telling us. And we need to carry, that is isiXhosa, to show the younger generation by doing, not by saying.
I was actually going to go there. I love that you transition into how do we transfer or how do we make sure that we uphold, you know, culture, tradition, rituals or whatever the case. I touched on it on my introduction. I have a 2-year-old son.
Yeah.
And even when I found out that I was pregnant, I was like, hey, Kanene, the first person that my son is going to learn from or gets taught. But I'm the first person that's going to be the custodian of what is going to be able to absorb all of that. How do I make sure that I still uphold? Because sometimes I don't want to lie. I'll be very transparent. I sometimes feel like I do not have adequate information or I'm not adequate enough to be that custodian of culture, tradition, rituals. How, give me, like, honestly, my practical ways of making sure that I don't lose that sense of being African and transferring that to the next generation.
You learn by doing. Aiki manual, ne? There's no manual of being a good mother or a good father. If there was a manual, I think we would retype it and change it to clinify the whole thing.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it doesn't exist so that she doesn't clinify the manual. The good thing, though, is that there are people who have walked this road before you.
Yeah.
So ask for assistance. Ask for advice. People are so scared of asking for advice. I know you're going to get wrong advice as well. But there are many people who are willing to share with you. And other people, you just watch them. You don't even have to talk to them. You just watch. You know what? So sigi pattern lapen. I can learn from the way that person is doing things. And you do it your way, but having access to and bring it to your way of doing things. Because every family is different.
Yeah.
Every mother is different. And every child, every father mm-hmm. is different. Mm-hmm. My father was very gentle mm-hmm. and he didn't speak loud. Mm-hmm. And he taught in a very beautiful kind of way. And he was not upset with Trina, who never stopped asking questions. Kosi, what are you going to do with this last born child of the Mthwebe family? And I'm so grateful that I asked all of those questions. But my mother, sure, when you grew up in my mother's arms, it is work. Why? Not in the house.
Yo.
So she had no time for playing. You have to work. And I think she must have had ama emails from God. And then God sent her emails and Lalel, this last born child of yours who is always asking questions and who's always wondering why things are doing like this, are done like this and not like that, she's going to be very successful. And the more successful you become, the harder you must work. People think you become successful and then you stand at the top of the mountain and then you just chill and bask in. No. The more successful you become, the harder you must work. And I'm so grateful I grew up in my mother's army.
I love that you say in a mother's army. On that note, Ma, I'm going to play a game with you. Quick one. It's called Rapid Fire Questions.
Okay.
Don't think too much about it. The first thing that comes into your mind.
Okay.
So first question, if culture were a flavor, what would it be?
It would be honey.
Why?
Because honey, it is healing. It is medicinal. It can be decadent. It is so delicious. And it's long lasting. You can have honey from 100 years ago and it hasn't gone bad. It hasn't rotted and it has not expired. Yeah,
I got you.
Timeless.
A childhood tradition you'd love to see make a comeback.
Indigenous games.
Oh,
did we play Indigenous games?
I have a 35th birthday coming up in November.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already told my friends, Bana, guys, I'm hosting a party for the first time ever. I've never had a party in my life. And we're doing Indigenous games.
Thank you.
Imishinga, taking old stockings, putting it
Excuse me. In our organization, we've got a thing called Kids Should.
Yes.
We do it every year in July. On the 19th of July, we went berserk. You've never seen so many people play.
We need that.
It's called Kids Should.
We had kids
of all ages. It was hilarious. The following day, by and the phone, but mom, I'm so tired. Why did you do this thing yesterday?
I'm a kid of all age. Thank you very much. Is there a proverb or a saying you find yourself repeating often?
Okay. My father said this over and over and over. Ayiko inkomo yobuthongo. You can never earn a cow through sleeping.
Okay.
And I say it more often. I was irritated when he said it in our childhood. I mean, we got the picture. You said it 60 times already this year. Sixwile. I mean, we get the picture.
And now
I say it so often because I've never seen a cow earned through sleeping.
Storytelling around the fire or TikTok reels? Which one wins for you?
I still think storytelling around the fire. But when you can tell stories in different spaces, stories are the most versatile art forms. You can do it in any place, in a fancy opera house. You can tell stories in a small classroom. You can tell stories under a tree. You can tell stories anywhere in the kitchen. So stories are very versatile, just like water.
Who's the one storyteller, past or present, that shaped you?
And let's say two.
Okay.
One of my favorite storytellers was Mamane Jali. Mamane Jali used to tell stories on Radio Zulu.
Yes.
Anyway, I didn't have enough time to listen to her because Vince Scully and I had a master storyteller again, my grandmother.
Okay.
She was the master storyteller. You would ask questions. In fact, I do have a story about that. And she'd tell me a story. She taught me the art of listening. She taught me the art of appreciation of language, the way she used language. Delicious.
You are the first person I heard this from. Kos Nganzom. To this day, every time I hear it, like literally I have goosebumps because I remember listening to you or on the radio watching.
Yes.
Kos Nganzom. I love it. Ma, let's get into a second part of, our episode. So, my mom-in-law recently passed away beginning of the year.
Yes.
And I am the only makoti. I do not have sisters-in-laws. And it was the first time feeling, wow, oh, okay, what's this? What stage am I at? Because with her passing, I realized that I'm the next best thing to a mom, to a female mother hen around the home.
Matriarch.
And everyone was asking me, so makoti, sizokwenzanjani? Like, hey, I don't know. Why are you asking me? Right? How do you prepare someone for that stage so that we don't feel overwhelmed? We're actually comfortable when we get to, you know, yeah, that stage. How do you prepare someone for that?
You are never old enough for these big challenges in life. And when you reach that, it hits you by surprise every single time. But there are people around you who can share and say, you know, it happened to me. In fact, I was younger than you when this happened. In fact, when this happened, I was lying in bed sick. I had to get out of bed and step up. So there are people who have got experiences to share with you. Unfortunately, it's at short notice. It's not like you've got a whole year to hear these anecdotes and all of that. You've got to act now. And so when you see these challenges, you're amazed at how much the suitcase at the back of your head has stored over the years. You think, I remember this happening. That suitcase is a treasure trove. It's got so much to share with you. And don't be scared to maybe make a mistake because somebody will say, makoti kwenziwa kanje. Mamela mama kabani, ungayenzi lento le, awuhloniphi xa wenza kanje. Because at the core of it is respect. Respect of the way things are done in this family. And maybe they can't be done exactly the way they were done 35 years ago or 40 years ago. But you add what was and what is.
Amazing.
And move forward.
Ma, I've heard this countless times from abantu abadala. Yo, the generation does not listen. They do not uphold culture. They're very disrespectful. Obama masiko. From your experience, is that the case? Where's the disconnect?
Every generation will say to the future generation, Animameli, you're not doing things the way we did it in our time. I promise you, when you are my age, you're going to tell the younger ones they don't do things the way you did them in your time. Anyway, but I think there's reason for older people to say, just watch it. Okay. You can move with the times, but please don't lose everything.
Okay.
And don't go around copying. There's cultural imperialism that we are fighting on a daily basis, not to mention losing our African languages.
Yeah.
And if they had their way, those cultural imperialists, they want to strip us of our skin, then put their own skin on us. You understand? And they would like us to take away our irises and have blue eyes and have grey eyes and to do everything in a European kind of way. And we don't want to be Europeans. We are Africans. Abantwana be Africa. So we need to live that and share with young ones. The name Gcina Masiko, by the way, I was given by elders in deep rural South Africa because I was doing the literacy campaign, Nozincwadi, Mother of Books. And when we get lost kaNongoma, or you get lost at Tinaga and you are trying to get to a school, or we're looking for Marikana Primary School, you followed your name. Your parents must be proud. I'm thinking my name is Nokugcina, meaning the last girl. And I said, how did I follow? I don't like be last. I want to be first, actually. But are you not Gcina Masiko?
Wow.
And again, so many elders kept calling me Gcina Masiko. I thought, it's a very stylish jacket. It is colorful. It's my size. I can wear this.
I can
wear this.
Right.
And so I took it on, and that's how our organization got called Gcina Masiko Arts and Heritage Trust.
Amazing.
Yes.
And I believe the next question actually speaks to that, the legacy that you leave behind. Looking at some of the work that you have done, what part of culture do you want to be remembered for?
Two things I repeat very often. Anybody who's met me will know Gcina Mhlophe says this very, very often. Why do I tell stories? I tell stories in order to wake up stories in other people. Because I know that every living being has got a story to tell. So I tell stories in order to wake up stories in other people. If I can do that every single time I tell a story, I say mission accomplished. And then another quotation that's a typical Gcina Mhlophe quotation. I say, until we see a brighter future in our children's eyes. Not much of what we do today has any value. Singalboni ingomso, eliqaqambileyo, emehlweni abantwana bethu. Esikwenza namhlanje akunto yanto. So that brighter future in our children's eyes, that's what I'm striving for every single day until the day I die.
Amazing, amazing. With that, Ma, let's do our snack. Let's have our snack. What's the story behind the sunflower, sesame, and almond brittle bar?
It comes from me loving izinto ezimnandi ezifana namaqunube, berries. Yes. I love berries, all kinds of berries.
Yes.
I love nuts. I love seeds. I don't know if you've ever opened a pumpkin and then you want to cook the delicious pumpkin dish. Delicious. That's food of my childhood. Mm. The aroma, takes me back in time. And then there are the seeds there. Mm. And then we would take them and toast them on a little pan or on a lid of a black pot. Mm. And then toast them. And then you start eating. Sometimes you don't even put salt on it. The taste is round. Mm. So it is my yearning for my childhood.
Oh.
And then I found sunflower, sesame seeds, all kinds of seeds, chai seeds. I just love all of these seeds. Mm. And very often they put ground nuts and mix that. And they put honey, of course. I'm addicted to honey. I can never have enough. When people say they can't speak isiZulu, I say, I'll teach you one word. What? I say, uju, U-J-U. That is honey in isiZulu. Would you? That's my addiction.
Love it. Now, I can't wait. Let's taste our sesame. I've never had one, actually.
You never had one?
No.
I always have to have it in my bag. When I'm hungry, I don't eat the fast food. I go for the seed bar. Say njinji. Come on. Say njinji.
Guys, there's even art to
there's
it.
There's art breaking this thing. Yeah, one inch.
Okay, okay.
There's a small one.
Thank you.
What do you say?
A woman after my own heart.
Delicious.
I'm going to buy more of those.
Yeah, just keep them in your handbag when you're hungry.
And they're also very healthy.
Healthy and mnandi.
Okay. One last question, Matt, before we end off.
Oh, yes.
A lot of people, you were talking about, you know, telling your story, owning your story. That's why you are a storyteller, to ignite or to spark other people telling their stories. But I'll be very honest that a lot of people do not want to tell their stories, possibly because of shame. What would people say? My story is not worth telling. Look into the camera right there. What do you have to say to that person?
There are all kinds of stories. Some of the stories are stories lived. Some of them are stories experienced. Some of the stories are stories from way back where we touch the past and feel the future. But I want to tell you, every story matters. If my story matters, so does your story. So please do not be scared of telling your story and don't shy away from speaking your own mother tongue because that is the carrier. That's what carries your story. You don't tell a story in a language you don't love, in a story, in a language that you don't really, really know, so that you can be articulate and say exactly what you mean. Your voice matters.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, what more can I say? I think the aha moment for me, and I'll remember it for the rest of my life. I've been struggling between culture and tradition, and for a long time feeling inadequate to be a custodian of culture and tradition and to pass it on to the next generation.
Yes.
But you reminded me today that no, it starts within. Culture starts within. It's the upholding of ubuntu, umdungabantu, however way you do that. But that's what centers it. I'll forever cherish that.
Sis Nozi, I want to say to you, we are a long-memoried people. We are a long-memoried people. There's so much that is inside your own DNA that you can remember. You don't even know how you remember it. We are a long-memoried people.
Ma, thank you so much for coming through. Thank you so much for this conversation. I appreciate you. I celebrate you. I am giving you your flowers. Thank you for making our childhood so memorable.
It is an honor to be here. And let's keep telling our stories.
Amazing.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been Don't Hold Back, Where We Say It Loud, a podcast in collaboration with DW Jacaranda FM and East Coast Radio. Please catch this episode wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Until next time, thank you so much for joining me. I'm Nozibele Pamgana Mayaba, your host.
Don't hold back. Say it loud.